Howdy, 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 folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Outdoor Evolution Podcast. All right, so we tend to spend quite a bit of time here on the podcast. We'll say, I don't know if it's complaining. What'd you say earlier? It's
I use the word being analytical.
We're very analytical on the podcast. You know, we've really been diving into some kind of touchy subjects and some deeper things that most people don't really want to talk about within the outdoor community and the space. But today's episode, my friends, is a little bit of a, I guess, a positive thing. It's something that I've been asked a lot over the years. At one point, I made a video called How I Afford My Lifestyle, and that is the whole concept of how people like me, you know, a quote-unquote YouTuber, I guess if you could see my fingers right now, I'm making air quotes, or an Instagram or something like that, a professional outdoor media explorer. Does that make sense? Is that a label?
Dude, that sounds so cool.
You go with that?
Yeah, outdoor media explorer.
Outdoor media explorer. You know, how we afford the lifestyle that we afford. You know, sometimes on the podcast, I think that it kind of sounds like we're attacking people that maybe take sponsorships or something like that. And lately, I've had a lot of people kind of turn their nose up at me ever since we kind of recorded some of those episodes, because they thought that we were saying that it was a negative thing. And you know, as we've said in those episodes, I don't think it's a negative thing at all. You know, that it's not something I've done, and I've done it different ways. But regardless, you know, Outdoor Evolution is not only about backpacking and bike packing and alternative lifestyle, but it's also about media creation. And there's a lot of people out there that are kind of looking to get into this space. And I always want to kind of give a helping hand and give some tips and help people understand like what it takes, how to do it, and I don't know, I guess the way that I've done it. Does that mm-hmm. sound good?
Yeah, I mean, coming from someone who I guess saw other creators doing this kind of thing and started going down the road myself, I'm certainly not as far. I don't do this stuff full time.
Sure.
But having it be a goal, like, I think the wealth of knowledge that you and other creators have that have been able to figure it out, I think it's a gold mine of, and it's inspirational. I think like this type of an episode, learning from someone like you, I find it to be inspirational because it's like, oh no, you can do this kind of thing. Like if you love the outdoors and you can do this stuff, and you want to do this stuff, like there's ways.
Yeah.
And here's how.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of weird. Like this episode has been kind of, I've been looking forward to it. And, you know, over the years I've made like little videos and I hint all the time in my videos, and I'll kind of slightly talk about it. But, you know, as I've said multiple times on this podcast, as I've said in my videos, I'm not sponsored. You know, I always use the hashtag still not sponsored. And I think that there's a lot of people that think, oh, well, you are a YouTuber, or you are an Instagrammer or a Facebooker. Mm-hmm. Are there Facebookers? Are there professional Facebookers?
I guess so.
Or maybe you're a podcaster or whatever. And I guess there's a lot of people that instantly think, oh, well, that person must be sponsored. You know, they're talking about their gear. They're talking about their backpack that they use, or their tent, or maybe it's their bike. Obviously, that company is paying them. And, you know, there are some people out there that do take sponsorships, are sponsored media creators. And then there's other ways to do it. And kind of how I started doing it when I got into it, and how a lot of other people did it for a long time. And then now it kind of almost seems like the sponsorship thing is a little more prevalent. I mean, it seems to me like there's a lot of people that are sponsored now versus whenever I was first doing it, kind of how I went about it.
Yeah. Well, I think the space is kind of blown up.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe that's why.
Here's the thing, though. I feel like the word sponsorship is very broad.
Yeah.
Like, let's say that you drive a NASCAR. A NASCAR.
You've already lost me.
Is that what they say? How about a funny car?
I should know this stuff. I grew up in Indiana.
I was going to say, that's from your hood, man. Okay. So we all know like all the stickers on a NASCAR, right? Or like sponsorships when you watch a commercial or someone's like, you're watching a football game and like a Pepsi logo is there.
Yeah.
Like those are sponsorships, but there's money being exchanged in that scenario. Totally. Like, this brand is paying for their sticker on a car and the size of the sticker costs X amount of dollars. Right. And generally that's how it works. Right. The other kind of sponsorship is free gear for like in the backpacking world.
Okay, so that's interesting. You think that that's, I feel like you think that's sponsorship?
That's what I'm saying, is that it's such a broad category. I think that it's become sponsorship, but I don't think that it really is, because I guess the sponsorship, maybe it's like a handshake deal between the doer and the advertiser. Yeah. Like it really, I guess it comes down to, I guess, whatever you're willing to accept as the exchange of money. And that's where all the rabbit trails goes. And we've done that in the past. Like that's we've explained like how much your content is worth.
Sure.
But a sponsorship could literally be as silly as you get, like in the hunting world, there's brands that are like, I'm a pro staff on this brand.
Right.
I shoot this thing or I wear this kind of camouflage, and that you're considered being sponsored by this brand, and but you have to pay to get your gear at like, but you get like a pro staff discount.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes down to, as you said, it's kind of like an exchange, right? It's the company saying, hey, you, if you use this thing and say this, or we'll give you this, now whether that's money or gear, and in return, we want you to review it or maybe do a post about it or something like that, right? That would you, is that a sponsorship, whether it's money or gear, or is it just money?
Well, yeah. I mean, because it's
a funny it's like back and forth that I've had with people for years.
Yeah, I think if I were to baseline everything, the in my humble opinion, from what I know, a sponsorship would mean that there's money, hard cash being exchanged. It's hard to live off of 10 backpacks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you can't, like at some point, and I was telling this to a guy recently, he's wanting to do all that stuff and brands hit him up and he finally like the trough is full and he's like, dude, I can't. Like it doesn't pay the bills for you to send me a t-shirt to wear into the woods. So I almost feel like it's a reverse sponsorship. If you send free product, I'm almost sponsoring the brand because the brand's going to make the money.
Right.
But so traditional means of sponsorship, I would like to think that like someone's giving you money to do a thing,
right?
To say a thing, to show a thing, to use a thing, and there's an exchange of money.
Sure. So that is one way of, you know, how our, what do we call it? Our professional outdoor creator. Is that what it was? Our outdoor adventure creator.
Yeah. Something like that.
Whatever the heck it was. It was good though. We should coin that.
It was really good.
So, you know, that is one way that a lot of people that do this will make money. And in my experience, from what I've seen, even though I haven't taken sponsorships over the years, that tends to be a little bit harder, right? Because one, I think there's so many people that are going after sponsorships. Two, you know, a company only has so much money that they're going to set aside to pay somebody for their media, right? Especially like if they're already using, say, like a media company, or they already have a marketing department, stuff like that money, they only have so much money for marketing, whether that's for sponsorship, affiliate, whatever. But the main thing, at least whenever I first got into it and what I've done for years, and this is kind of where I want to set the record straight with, you know, talking about it from my side of it, is affiliate links and monetization. So obviously if you have something like a YouTube channel, or I mean, even a blog or even a podcast, because some people monetize their podcast and stuff, you're basically allowing, so we'll take YouTube for instance. So what I've done for 6 years is, you know, obviously YouTube has certain stipulations. You have to have so many subscribers. You have to have so many views. Now, when I first got into it, you didn't. It was kind of a no holds bar. You could just do it right off the bat. now you have to have, what is it, like 2,000 subscribers and like...
Yeah, I think it's 1,000 right now.
Is it 1,000?
Before you can run ads.
Right. And then there's like so many views or something on your channel.
Right. Yeah, it's X amount of minutes. There's like some metrics in there.
Right. So, you know, you're basically allowing Google, who owns YouTube, to put ads on your videos. And then every time an ad runs, as long as it's watched, you get like a little kickback off that. Like you get a percentage. I don't know what it is. It's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then if somebody clicks on it, you get another percentage. So that is one way, and the way a lot of us started making revenue. But I can tell you all that are listening right now, folks, it's not a lot. For the amount of work that goes in to shooting a video, especially if you're like me and you're a little anal retentive and you like really, really are shooting for high quality stuff, a lot of work goes into making a YouTube video. I mean, for me, I have spent multiple days editing one video, shot it.
Have you ever talked about how long it takes you to shoot and edit the videos?
No, I don't think so. It's ridiculous, dude.
Because I follow a lot of creators on YouTube, yeah. And some people, I mean, depending on what's involved, and everyone has their style, but if it's more cinematic and whatnot, like, dude, people talk about spending 40 to 60 hours a video.
Oh, yeah.
And it's easy. A video that's 10 minutes long.
Easy. Easily. And, you know, that's not to say that, like, that's the right way to do it. Because, I mean, there's tons of people that just, like, shoot something real quick with their cell phone. They upload it. And at the end of the day, like, kind of a sad byproduct of social media and there being so many people is, like, media is consumed so fast. So, like, a lot of people are just like, well, I'm not going to put the time and the effort into putting something out that's high quality when people are just going to watch it real quick, probably skip half of the video anyways. But for me, you know, being a creator and being an artistic person and someone that likes to tell a story, I like to put my time in it, right? Like I like to put my quality in it. Some of the videos that I do, I put a ton of time into it. Yeah. The whole 40 hours thing, easy, especially on like a trail video or something, picking out the right music, lining everything up. So the amount of money that you make from monetizing a YouTube video is not that much. Even if you've been doing it for a long time, the payoff for the work that you put into it is like, it's not really worth it. I could honestly make more money like going back to, I was a machinist and tool and die maker for years. I make way more money going back to being a machinist. I could make way more money going back to working in a restaurant.
By running Google ads, like you're talking about the monetization of running an ad, having Google run an ad on your video.
Yeah. So that's your main, we'll just use YouTube, a quote unquote YouTuber as a basis for this. So that's your main thing because your main creation and your main thing is the video. So you're obviously going to run ads on that, right? So then on top of that, you can take sponsorships and you can do a sponsored video. Like this video is sponsored by blah, 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 random big box online backpacking retailer.
Yep.
I'll let everyone that's listening.
And they all have their niches,
the
like they like whatever web host or whatever, they're all sponsoring different videos. Like, and you'll see the 30-second, like this video is sponsored by whatever.
Yeah. And usually,
but they're paying them for
it. Yeah. And usually how that works is like a company will basically put together a campaign. So we'll say like online backpacking retailer, mega store, again, fill in whatever name you want to fill in there, folks. Says, well, for our summer release, we're going to release all this gear in the summer. We're going to do a campaign. We want a bunch of people to come because we're doing a big sale or a big winter sale. So they're going to contact, you know, me, and they're going to contact Emery, and they're going to contact Joe Blow's YouTube channel and, you know, Mary Somebody's YouTube channel. And they're going to grab all these people. And then basically they're going to say, hey, we're going to send you X amount of dollars worth of gear. And we will pay you this much to do a video where you use the gear and you talk about it. And that is an ad. And, you know, with stuff like that, you're supposed to make sure that people know that's an ad. You're supposed to say, this is sponsored by blah, blah, blah. You're supposed to put like hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored by whatever company it is. Like there's actual rules. There didn't used to be. And then now I think that if you do an ad or something and like you don't disclose that, I think that YouTube will like shut it down. Like they'll demonetize it. So then there's that, right? And then mm-hmm. there's the thing that I feel like a lot of people don't know about and don't understand, and that is what is called an affiliate link. So an affiliate link is basically any YouTube video that you've watched, like a gear video or something like that. Every time in the description, you'll always see links to Amazon.com. That's mm-hmm. where a lot of these items, if you're talking, I mean, you're doing a full gear list, you know, like go watch any of my videos. If I'm talking about my full gear list of all my stuff, in my description box, there'll be a literal link for every single item on there.
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon and a lot of companies, I mean, I think I read something crazy that said, and this was like 2 years ago, that like by the year 2020, something like 96% of companies would use affiliate marketing in some way. You know, I always say that I'm not sponsored, right? And somebody was like, yeah, but you're an affiliate of Amazon, or you're an affiliate of this company or that company. And I'm like, well, that's not sponsored. That's not what a sponsorship is. And like, yeah, it is. I was like, okay, let me explain affiliate marketing to you. Affiliate marketing is like if you work at a car lot and you sell Ford and Chevy cars, right? If you sell a Ford truck to somebody, you make a commission. You make a percentage of that sale because you sold it. You put in the time, you talked about it, you did the test drive, and they give you a percentage of it, right? It's a little kickback. That doesn't mean that you're sponsored by Ford or Chevy. It doesn't mean that you're sponsored by the car lot that you're selling it for. And what a lot of people don't understand is it's not like the company is reaching out to the person and saying, do you want to be an affiliate? Most companies just have that on their website because it's become such a big thing. You can sign up to be an affiliate and the company doesn't even really know that you're an affiliate until like they go in and verify who you are. So that's where it really kind of differs from a sponsorship. It's just commission. There's tons of jobs that have commission. I worked in a bike shop for 2.5 years. And yep. I sold bikes. Like I sold, you know, a bunch of different brands of bikes and accessories and helmets and all that stuff. And every time I sold something there, the shop gave me a commission for selling it. Because again, I spent the time talking about it. I put in the work, and it's no different than like, you know, if I buy a backpack and a tent and a quilt, which I do, I buy all of my stuff at full price and I go out and use it. I have the experience. I put the time in using it. And then I take the time to make a video talking about my stuff. And then if someone clicks that link to that thing, I make a commission off of it.
Yeah.
So again, it's not a sponsorship. It's just, yeah, it's just commission.
How long did it take you to, I feel like this is pretty well known now, but 6 years ago, I don't know, man. I don't think a lot of people knew about this stuff. Like,
no.
How did you know?
Check this out.
How did you know this stuff? Because it's like a layered cake, right?
Well, here's what's really like, funny. I started my YouTube channel when I got off the 18 and 15, right? And I started making videos. I didn't even monetize my channel until sometime in early 2017. Not because I couldn't.
Well, when did you start it? What year?
15. Like August 2015 is when I start the channel.
Yeah.
By 2017, I went back out to the AT. I'd made all these gear videos. I'd done all this stuff where I'm talking about my backpack and my tent and all of these things. And then I had a buddy that I worked with at the bike shop. They goes, man, it seems like your YouTube channel is kind of getting a lot of subscribers and stuff. And you're getting a lot of attention. I was like, yeah.
Must be killing it.
He goes, how much money do you make a month off of your videos? And I was like, oh, I don't make anything. And he's like, no? And I was like, no. I was like, I'm not getting that many views. And he's like, well, from monetizing, like, I mean, you make something off monetization, right? And I was like, I don't monetize my videos. And he's like, wait, why? And I was like, I don't know. I just figured it'd be pennies on the dollar at this point. And he's like, you should really monetize your channel. He's like, somebody's running ads and making money off of it. And I was like, yeah. So then I started monetizing. And then, yeah, instantly, like every month, you know, it wasn't a lot of money at all. I mean, it was pocket change, basically. But I was like, holy crap. And then I did that for like 6 months without ever even understanding what an affiliate marketing partner was. I never knew about it. I was just randomly on like Google one day and I'm typing
giving
like,
links out.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, how to grow your social media platform or something. Like how to,
right.
You know, everybody out there that has got a YouTube channel or an Instagram account or is trying to get some sort of a following or something like that. You have Googled like, how do I grow my audience? How do I get more views? Like everybody's done that. And if you say you haven't, you're a liar. But I'm just searching that and it's like, something's talking about affiliate marketing. I'm like, what the hell's affiliate marketing? And then I sign up for, you know, Amazon to start off with, which is the most common one. Yeah. And then, yeah, it kind of, you know, snowballed from there.
Can I ask you a question? Do you,
yeah.
I read, so when I started my podcast, I read this like Tim Ferriss, when he started his podcast, I was trying to get motivated to do it. And he was talking about how, when he decided to monetize, and one of his key things was don't monetize your content. And for him in a podcast, and it was crazy numbers. He was like, until you have 100,000 downloads per episode.
Jesus.
And, yeah, it's a lot, right? Like, yeah. But he's in a completely different league. So
you hear that, folks? We need you to download the podcast more. 100,000,
everyone, tell your friends. Just have it running. So, and the key was is that he didn't want sponsorships before you sponsor your episodes or whatever. His theory was that you don't want it to taint the content creation, because his fear was, it might sway the kind of content that he's putting out. And I wonder if you knew about affiliate marketing when you first started your YouTube channel, and there's no way for us to really know if content would get swayed one way or another, because when you started your channel, it was really organic, right?
Yeah.
Like there's no incentive. The incentive
if that
was
story
to,
doesn't tell you that it was organic. Me just flat out not knowing
that man,
I could make money off of videos.
But it's kind of a beautiful story if you think, and a lot it should tell people a lot about like why you do something, right? If you start something to like, everyone needs to make money and wants to make money at some point, right? Especially if you want to keep hiking and you want to have this like outdoor lifestyle. If you want to do that, you have to make money. You have to find ways to make money, and you can either be a seasonal worker or you can do this kind of a thing where you're figuring out the different layers of the cake that can bring in different forms of income. But I wonder, when you started, man, like you were giving out links to things that you believed in, and you still do that, obviously, but you trained yourself to do that. Whereas like maybe someone starting a YouTube channel could possibly compromise why they're doing something if they're only doing it for the affiliate link. Like, I'm not going to review this gear because there's no affiliate link for it, even though I believe in this tent and this thing. And you know what I'm saying?
Like, it's I totally know what you're saying. And I think
now we're in the mud.
Sometimes
right?
Like that is why I might come off as like the old curmudgeon. Like whenever we're talking about like, you know, when we did the Dear Outdoor Influencers episode, and I was just like, that's not how I did it. Because to me, it's like, I do see a lot of people. And again, I'm not saying it's wrong. If your goal is to like, hey, I'm going to start making media because I want to make this a profession and I want to make money off of it. I hate working my 9-to-5 job. And if I can talk to a camera every day and get sponsorships and make money just being me, I'm going to do that. Like, that's cool. Go after that. Like, that is awesome. Everybody should do their own thing and aspire to do that. To me, it was never that, right? It was just like, oh, I like talking about this stuff and I like inspiring people and I like...
And you found a way to get paid for
it. And then it was like kind of falling over it, like discovering it, being like, oh shit, like, wait a minute.
But by the time, say, when did you say you started getting affiliate links? Like end of 2017?
Yeah, it would have been 2017. And I know for a fact, and I know the month that it started, because...
that's kind of when things started ramping
for
up.
For a long time, I would actually every month... I would keep a list. I still have it on my computer. It's a list of every month. And I stopped doing it like, I don't know, sometime in 2019 into 2019, where every month I would put like January and I would put Amazon, YouTube. You know, at the time we had an eBay store. We had a an Etsy store. And I would put like all of the little passive incomes and like how much I was making from this, how much I was making from that. Because we had a goal. at some point. We were like, well, I think that if I can bring in this amount of money a month, and you know, this is like later in 2017, I think that I could do this full time and not have to work a 9-to-5 job anymore. So I would keep that kind of listed out. And I still have that on my computer.
Okay. So this is such a cool, this is going to be such a great episode for a lot of people, because when were you living in, when were you living full time out of the van?
So it's kind of a weird mixed story. And I think some people kind of, I don't know, kind of get it mixed up sometimes. I mean, some people think I still live out of a damn van, but here I am in a podcast studio.
I think everyone that owns a van, people, if you own a van, people think you're living out
all
of it.
All the time. So in 2015, before I even hiked the AT, before we went out there, me and my wife moved into a van. So we had a house, we bought a minivan, I converted it, and we moved into the van. So we lived in the van from, this is going to be weird timing. We lived in the van from end of December 2014 to technically beginning of March 2015. Because then we went out to hike the AT, right? We were out on the AT for 4 months until I got ehlichiosis and I broke my tooth and what took us off 1,600 miles in. So we got right off the AT. We moved back in the van. And then we lived in the van, traveled around full time until August of 2015, which is when we ran out of money, all the money that we had saved. And then I had to get a job in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I go to work at the bike shop where I was making commission off of selling bikes. I was an affiliate way before I even know what the hell affiliate was. I start the channel. And then for the next 2 years, we lived in Albuquerque up until August of 2017. August of 2017 is whenever I went full time. Basically, you know, I was telling you that if we could bring in this amount of passive income with all the different eggs we had in different baskets, that we could afford to live out of a van full time. That was like paying for insurance and paying for gas and food and whatever other bills, cell phone, stuff like that. I'm living a super simple minimalist life. And we moved in. We didn't move into the van. We moved into a 5x8 cargo trailer. We had bought one because our original plan was we were going to move into a camper and go work for the National Park Service. So we were going to work 6 months on and, you know, save up a bunch of money living in the camper. And then we were going to take 6 months. We were going to travel. There's a ton of people that do that. And I met a really cool couple in 2016 that were doing that at the Grand Canyon. That's what kind of inspired me. So August 2017, we moved into the 5x8 cargo trailer full time, and we lived in that. We pulled it with our van up until beginning of 2018, when our van broke down. We sold the 5x8, and we bought the van that I have now. And then we lived in that van from that point until July 2019. And then we moved here. So it's kind of like, I haven't been living in a van and traveling full time like since, you know, I left my house. I think a lot of people think that. Like we left our house behind. I've been living in a van full time ever since. Like we've had kind of little stays here and there. And most people that live van life do that. Like there's not a lot of people that like live in their van
fully
all the time, nonstop. I know like one or two people that do that. Most people kind of take breaks here and there.
I feel like the takeaway for me from that is that when you said, okay, I'm looking at all of these passive streams of income, these things that I'm doing that make money a little bit here, a little bit there, it does begin to add up.
Oh yeah.
But you also didn't have, you had a very low overhead. Like you didn't have a mortgage.
And that's the thing a lot of people like, have to
you
understand.
You and your wife downsized.
That like in order, at least, and again, I'm going to just speak about my experience because things are different now. There's more people that do it. It's easier to get into it. In order to do it, when I did it, you had to basically live like a homeless person. So basically live like you're on the trail, right? You're living in a van. You're super minimal lifestyle. No bills. You don't have any debt. You're not buying a new car, none of that. And then you're hustling your ass off because in order to like make YouTube videos, you know, at one time I was making three videos a week posting like 5 times a week on Instagram. I had a website with a blog in it. Me and the wife had this Etsy store where we were selling vintage National Park memorabilia. So we were like hitting up thrift stores every single day, like trying to collect. And so like we were hustling.
Yeah, doing things.
Like heavy duty. So in order to do that, to get to that lifestyle, to kind of break in and start making that money, it's all about, you know, you got to really strip away things and you got to be willing to basically what I did for so many years, and it's live the job. A lot of people think that like, oh man, it must be so great just to create YouTube videos and travel full time and you just got all this time. No, bro. Like I work over the last 6 years, I have put in more work than I ever have in my entire life. I've owned a recording studio. I've owned a restaurant. I was a machinist and tool and die maker by trade. Like I've had some like hardcore professions and I never worked as much as I do just, you know, as some people would say, making goofy YouTube videos.
So dude, so what do you get out of it? Like as a creator I mean, we've talked about this in the past, like you tell me all the weird jobs you've done, a plethora of things.
Yeah.
And then you just like, you hear this from a lot of people and you just got done saying like, you've done all these jobs, but I've never worked harder than what I have now for what?
Well, you got to love it, right? Like,
yeah. Like what?
It's
like,
hard.
Why do you keep doing it?
And it's stressful. Yeah, I mean, but I mean, well, I mean, why I keep doing it now is because like, once you've done it for so long, like, dude, I can never go back to work for somebody ever. I wouldn't last at a job. And mainly because I have basically, and it's again, it's why I refuse to take sponsorships. I cannot stand people telling me what to do. So I could never go back to a regular job again, because at this point I've like lived this fantasy world for 6 years where I am my boss. I get to do what I want to do when I want to do it. So dude, if I got like a job at a grocery store tomorrow, as soon as I walk through the door, like, you know, Mr. Manager's like, I need you to do this. I'd be like, no, you do it. Like,
you do it. You're standing right there.
Man, I'm kind of screwed at this point.
So that makes a lot more sense to me, understanding where you're coming from with the not wanting to take a sponsorship and buying your gear full price.
Yeah.
Because the way I read that is, dude, you want to do it on your terms. You felt what it's like to this is going to sound weird, but owe someone something. Like when someone sends you gear, when someone sponsors you, there's an exchange.
Right.
We won't say names or anything, but like recently there's been some drama in the sponsorship worlds, and hikers are having to make a living taking sponsorships.
Right. Which has always been weird for me, because I've always just wanted to kind of like, again, like talking about what I've talked about, like I've managed to do it for 6 years. Yeah. And like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn when I say this for anyone that's listening, because that's not the point of this. But like, I own, and some people, I think every time I say this, like they're like, oh yeah, you make YouTube videos and a podcast and don't understand. Like I'm sitting in a legit media company. Like I have employees. Mm-hmm. Like we do professional media work for big companies. Like that's what I do on the side now.
And that's where it's all led to.
And that's where it's all led to by, and I never took a sponsorship. It's just by hustling and doing it the way I did it. So sometimes I kind of want to see all these people that are like really, you know, hustling to like do these sponsorships and these ads and stuff. And just be like, you don't have to do that. Like you can remain in control. You can set your own path and you can do it yourself. And is it a lot of work? Well, hell yeah, it's a lot of work. Absolutely.
What do you think I don't want to get back to sponsorships.
No, let's not do that.
Like, how do you encourage someone? Like, what do you say to someone that's like, okay, well, everyone's taking sponsorships. Like, I need to go and hike. I don't want to do this 9-to-5 job anymore. I want to hike the Triple Crown, or I want to do this long trail that takes 4 months.
Like, oh, we can talk about
the
it
only
now.
Way I can do this I'm is taking CDT. A.
I've been kind of holding on to that for a while. Anyways, keep going.
Like, how do you inspire someone that's like, I don't want to owe anything. I want to be able to do it on my own terms.
Just just be witty.
Like, what do you say? Do you be like, yeah, dude, it's going to suck for a while?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it sucks. Or, like, to me, it was fun as hell. Like, I love figuring that out. You know, whenever it came down to that point, a company would send me an email. And, like, now I get them, God, I get, like, 10, 15 a day. And that's no joke. I'm not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. It is, like, 10 or 15 a day from random companies out of nowhere. Like, we'd like to collaborate with you, and we can give you X amount of dollars to mention our product in your video or your Instagram post. And like, it was fun for me to like get that email and just be like, no, I don't need that because I'm going to hustle over here and I'm going to do this 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 and I'm going to do this. And like that benefited me hardcore in the end. So it can be done. It's just, you got to put in the work and you got to love what you're doing. Like for me, it wasn't ever about the money. The money was the benefit. It was the little bonus. It was the extra. It came along with like the reason I was doing it, the reason I was hustling. It was like, oh, I love doing this. I love making stuff for people. I love the fact that somebody sends me an email and says like, hey man, I watched your video and it inspired me to go through hike the AT. And I through hiked the AT, and while I was in the Smokies, I ended up meeting a ranger, and now I work for the Park Service full time. Like that is what drove me. So I think you definitely got to love it. But I think that there's a point, and at least what I've always thought, is if your goal is just to make money, odds are you're probably not going to enjoy it as much, right? I mean, is that fair? Because sometimes I think like anytime I've ever, I have to work this job because I have to make money because I have to pay my mortgage. Yeah. Like you kind of, you resent it a little bit, right? Because it's a job.
If you're trying to turn a passion, a thing that gives you passion or that you have passion about something, if you're trying to turn it into a job, I feel like it is a very delicate dance.
Yeah.
Like you're like, yeah, dude, I have to turn this thing into, if I want to do this kind of thing full time, it's like, I want to be a professional photographer. I love photography. But then you talk to some like professional photographers are like, dude, I freaking hate it right now.
Yeah.
Like,
and I mean, I think everybody kind of goes through a lull. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done it multiple times where it just, yeah, you get burnout. Everybody gets burnout.
Yeah.
You know, I went through hardcore burnout last year. Mine wasn't because of work or money, because I'm a workaholic. And I think you know this at this point. Like, I'm nonstop doing stuff I don't even have to do. Like, we started this podcast. I already had way too much shit on my plate. And then I was like, hey, podcast, right? So I'm a bit of a workaholic because I kind of get joy from it. I like completing things and going after tasks. So, you know, again, for me, the money kind of came as, it was just the benefit. It was the bonus. It was the extra. But doing it on my own, achieving something, you know, I mean, back in 2018, when I was on the PCT, I had the thought for all this. I was like, I want to do media professionally. Like I want to really create stories and shoot films, and I want to have this website, and I want to write articles. And even on my notes, I actually found my notes because I leave notes on my phone for everything when I'm out on trail. I just get thoughts. Do you do that?
I keep it because it's weird. Yeah.
And voice memos too. And I have a note of where I literally typed out Outdoor Evolution and it might not have been called Outdoor Evolution, but on it, I put a list of what I wanted. I want a website where I want to do articles. I want to go after film projects. I want to produce media for people. And on that list, no shit, I put podcast. And I even put podcast guest that I wanted to have on it. I wanted to talk to other media creators. That was my original goal. That was back in 2018. So the joy for me and why I like doing it is I was like, well, this is my goal and I'm going to go after this goal and I'm going to hustle as hard as I can and I'm going to make it happen. And I mean, here we are. Like,
what about, okay, so that, what's interesting about your story is that you went from, I'm just doing this for fun to, whoa, I can make affiliate income and I don't have to take a sponsorship in order to do that. Yeah. Cool. Watch this. I can monetize a little bit on YouTube, get some change in ad revenue, and then I can get affiliate. But for you, it like evolved into, boom, you know what? I'm going to actually do this bigger and I have a bigger vision.
Totally.
I don't think that's going to be everyone.
No.
And I was,
no.
It's not going to be everyone. So It could be, but that what might end up being where you go.
I would suggest most people don't do what I did. It has basically killed me for the past 6 years.
And if you don't want to be owed to someone, or you don't want to have like that this thing over you with a sponsorship, yeah. I was saying this to you earlier before we started recording about affiliates. I think one of the cool things about an affiliate link is that it is kind of like a respectful handshake between a brand and you.
Yeah.
Like if you have an affiliate, if a brand reaches out to you,
I don't know if it's really a handshake either.
Well, it's an offer. Like it's if you do this, the way I look at it, like
you're gonna make me kill all my affiliate links now.
No. Like,
oh crap!
It's a way for I feel like it's a respectful way for a brand to say, hey, we know that you're going to put out content. Yeah. We know what goes into it. 40 hours plus, all the miles that you've hiked on a trail, yeah. All the knowledge that you've gathered. We can't pay you. Like, we don't have this endless budget to pay you to do a video and to pay everyone to do a video for our gear. Yeah. But what we can offer is a kickback if someone purchases a backpack or right. a tent or a stake or whatever it is from this link. And we'll give you X amount. Like, it's a nice reward for the work that you're doing. And I would almost say that, and I don't, depending on the amount of money that's exchanged yeah. during a sponsorship, like a real sponsorship, it could possibly, in the long run, overshadow a sponsorship oh, yeah. check for $100.
Absolutely. No joke. Do you know what
I mean? Like, a link that is alive for 10 years.
Exactly.
Could
I mean,
make
I still,
way
I still
more
make
than a sponsorship
affiliate
could.
Percentages off of stuff that I, you know, videos that I made
yeah.
4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, you're putting like lines in the water, right? Like you have all the lines in the water. You're just trying to pick up different links, and it's not. I don't think that it's gross. It's like a. I think some people could probably be like, "Oh, that's just kind of gross that you're monetizing whatever." Be like, "Yeah, but everyone has to pay for their lifestyle,
exactly.
And if this is the kind of lifestyle, like you're either trading time for money or you're doing it for yourself, putting links out there and being like, hey, and then allowing people to like, there's some creators that put out there like, hey, if you want to help sponsor, if you want to help support the channel
yeah.
or you want to help support your creator, like use the links down below and purchase this gear. Yeah. It helps me continue doing what
yeah,
I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's affiliates are really like,
well,
I find that they're just a nice thing to
what's
do.
Interesting is there's so many people that I don't think understand. It's kind of like this one way thing for creators. It's like, you know, again, let's take YouTube videos. That's free. Like that's free media, free content, free knowledge, free experience, free, yeah. you know, I'm using something so you don't have to kind of thing. Like mm-hmm. you can find out about something before you go off and buy it or go and do yep. it, or
yeah.
you can learn something. And like, it's weird how people don't understand, like, I'm consuming this thing for free. And like, they just kind of expect like the person yeah. creating yeah. it, like, well, yeah, but it's just a YouTube video. It's just a goofy YouTube video. So I should get it for free and you shouldn't get anything. Like, that's a really unfair exchange. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, well, you get to watch the video for free. But with that being said, mm-hmm. well, I'm going to allow Google to put a little ad on the front of it that you can skip.
Yep.
But, you know, yeah. at least I make a couple cents off of it, this free thing mm-hmm. that you're consuming. It's weird. That's something I've had a hard time with because I've had so many people, you know, get crappy. It's like when someone leaves a bad comment on something, they're like, you're stupid and this video is shitty. And it's like, it's a good thing you didn't have to pay for it, buddy. Like,
the music's too loud.
Yeah. It's like, bro, you're not paying for
level.
This. Do you understand that? Do you understand yeah. that I put time into doing this and you don't have to pay for it? Like, yeah. I don't really have a right to bitch.
I'm finding other ways to get paid.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you're paying to watch it, I can understand that. You know, if I go yeah. to see a movie in the theaters and I paid like it for sucks. A $12 ticket and it's not that great and I walk out a quarter of the way through it, I'm kind of pissed because I paid to see something. Mm-hmm. I didn't enjoy it. That makes sense.
It didn't work out.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're not paying for it, it's yeah. just free content. But it's funny. And, you know, to set the record straight, because I want to do this because I find that this will be fun. Right. Again, I have not taken a sponsorship in 6 years. I have not let one company, no matter who that company is, pay me to talk about their product. Not one. And, you know, we don't say names. We don't say brands. in this mm-hmm. podcast, but I'm going to be real sly about it. You ready? Ultralight Backpack and Tent Company that's U.S. based, that I've used a lot of their items over the years on multiple hikes. Anybody that's watched my video, you can fill in the blanks. They have never paid me to say anything about their products. Have they sent me free gear in the past? Yes. But every time they sent me free gear, typically when a company sends somebody free gear, they say, we want to send you this tent. In exchange, we would like a review. Mm-hmm. How I've always handled it is Ultralight Backpack and Tent Company based in the U.S. gets a hold of me and says, hey, we'd like to send you this tent. And I say, cool. You're more than welcome to send me the tent, but it doesn't guarantee that I'll review it, that I'll use it,
right.
that you'll ever see it in media. And it also doesn't guarantee that I won't just give it away if I don't like it. Because I only like talking about things that I like. Most companies, about 95% of companies, are going to take that chance and just say, oh, well, there's a chance he might talk about it. If he does, well, that'll benefit us. So they send product, right? So I have accepted free gear in the past. Now, back in end of 2019, I decided to stop doing that. And actually, all the gear that I'd ever gotten for free, any of the stuff that I decided that I wanted to keep, I got a hold of all those companies and told them to send me an invoice for full price of that product. And any of the stuff that I wasn't using, I actually boxed it up. This is no shit. I boxed it up and I sent it back to the companies. There was one company in particular. And again, everybody can fill in the blanks if you really think about it. I sent a huge box of stuff back to them. They didn't want it. It kind of pissed them off that I sent it back to them. I was like, I don't want it because I don't want that to influence my stuff. Yeah. I want to pay for my stuff full price. Now, am I an affiliate of that company? Yes, I am. When they started an affiliate program, they got a hold of me and they said, hey, look, we know you don't want free gear from us. We know that we can't pay you to talk about stuff, but we know that you're using it. We know that you've bought it at full price. Can we at least give you an affiliate link? Since you're already talking about it anyways, you might as well make a kickback on it. Of course, right? Like, why wouldn't I? I bought it. I'm using it. I believe in it enough to talk about it. So I just wanted to set that record straight because I think that there's a lot of people that think that I'm sponsored by these certain companies that I've used for a long time. And here, I'll give you even a funnier example. There's another company. We'll call them Backpack Company B. We'll just say B. I don't know why B. The other one was Company A. This is Company B. That I have used their product. I have paid for it at full price ever since the first product I ever got from them back in 2018. I bought it at full price. Every other thing that I've ever gotten from them, I've paid for it at full price. And then I decided to collaborate on designing, co-designing a piece of gear with them. And even though that I collaborated on it, I decided I didn't want to make any money off of it. I didn't want to make a percentage off its sales. And I also bought my copy of it, my version of it, multiples. I have multiples of them at full price. I thought it was going to blow the person who owns the gear company's brains out. They're like, wait, what? And I'm like, I just need you to charge me for it. I just need to make sure that that happens. And then, you know, if that company said, well, we have, you're using our stuff anyways, you collaborated on the damn product with us, we might as well give you an affiliate code. They never gave me an affiliate code. So anybody that wants to do their own research, dig in themselves, really read between the lines in any of my stuff, almost every single company, every piece of gear that I use in my gear list currently, right now, as we're talking, I have bought at full price, every single piece. I have nothing that was given to me for free, and I have nothing that someone paid me to use or talk about. However, every piece of gear in my gear list, the company that made it, I'm an affiliate of, except for one company. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I think it's
And they do have an affiliate program. they just decided to not make sure that I wasn't getting any percentage of anything off of anything, which is a totally different story. But I just wanted to bring that up just because, again, I, being a creator, and this is something I kind of want people to understand. If your goal is to do what I've done, if your goal is to kind of find a way to monetize your life and your media and live this alternative lifestyle like I have done for 6 years, know that it doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter how you do it, doesn't matter how you present yourself, what you try to prove, people will call you a liar. People will say that you're sponsored. People say that you're a shill. People will whatever, 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 whatever. But again, folks, if you read between the lines, there's a piece of gear that I'm currently using that I helped co-design that I have never made a single penny off of, not one penny off of that product. And again, I'll let you do your own research and fill in the blank. Had to get that off my chest. Off my chest, damn it. No,
well, I think it's interesting to use you as like a test case for a lot of people. Because if they're, to your point, if they're aspiring to want to do this kind of thing, because I think that I think it's worth pursuing. If you want to see a lot of beautiful places and have a really interesting lifestyle, what is maybe to like wrap up, like after hearing about your test case and like what you've experienced, like if you were to mentor a group of individuals in this, like you clearly have your own set of ideals, and I think this is all individual. And I'm sorry if this is a long tail question,
like
but
not to cut you off hardcore, but like, again, folks, these are just my rules. These are what I have set for myself. And like, again, not to toot my own horn, by setting those rules and doing what I did and how I did it, it has paid tenfold back to me. Like I have been rewarded for kind of being strict, not taking the sponsorships, just hustling, doing the work and doing it the way I did it. So, you know, just take that with a grain of salt, take that for what it is. It might not be your style. You might not want to hustle as much as I did. You might not be a workaholic like I am and want to put all that work in.
What's your advice to someone that is like, well, man, like, that's great. You're saying that from where you're at now, it's always nice to look back, but like, what if someone's in the thick of it and they're like at that dead end job, or they're at that job that they don't like, and they're trying to figure this thing out. And they have brands hitting you up. I know a guy, like, for example, I've gotten to know this guy that's kind of doing the same thing. He's got a following now and he's starting to, and I was like, just wait till they start hitting you up and you have to navigate that. And he said, well, how do I do this? How do I know what to say? And how do I know what to ask for? And what am I worth? Like, from where you're sitting and what you've seen and the people that you know and the things you've done, what do you advise? Like, what is your like wisdom for that you can impart on other people that are in that kind of boat of like, okay, I'm starting to get hit by people and what should I look out for?
I mean, you know, I've always said, and I've always used the term, know your worth. You know, if there's a company that's reaching out to you and that wants to sponsor you, and that wants to give you something for free, odds are you're worth way more to that company than they are to you. There's a reason they're reaching out. There's a reason they want that audience. There's a reason they want you to use their stuff. Because you, whether you think that you are or not, you're worth something to them, right? You are worth something to them. Your experience is worth something. Your time that you've put into creating your media is worth something. The time that you've put into growing an audience. Now, whether that is 100 people or it's 100,000 people, that's your time. That's your experience. It's no different than a plumber getting paid what he gets paid. He got paid what he gets paid because he has learned how to do plumbing over so many years. He's put the time in.
That makes sense, man. Like, sometimes it's hard to know what you're worth, especially if you don't know. Like, if you're new to the whole thing, you're like,
it's super hard.
I just want to snap some pictures and see some pretty places, and I want to tell people about it. I want to tell the story because, like, it inspires, you know, me. Okay, great. One of the things that I told this guy is I was like, man, you're not going to know. Like, some of the stuff you just have to kind of sort out yourself. Like for you, example, you took that gear and then you sent it back because you're like, this just weighs on me. I don't really want this anymore. Right. I don't want it around. Or I had this policy and then I changed it over to this one. dude, that is perfect. That's a great example of navigation.
Yeah.
Like you're navigating the waters. And he's like, this one guy was like, well, how do I know if it's a shitty brand? I'm like, you don't, man. That's the, like, you just don't know. If they ghost you on some stuff, like for, he had done some stuff for them and then they ghosted him when he asked him about affiliates and money. And they ghosted him. And I was like, okay, then there you go. Like, you know that this brand that you worked with isn't someone that you want to have a relationship with. So, yeah, man, that's always, I was just curious what your advice is like for people that are kind of coming up.
It's hard, man. It really is. Because, you know, I wouldn't have, I got advice from somebody that told me, like, I jumped on it. I took a risk, right? Because I had a point to where a company came to me and said, hey, we know you're going to go hike the PCT next year and we want to sponsor you. And this is right as like the channel's blowing up and stuff, right? They knew that I was going to be making videos, right? They knew that I was going to be putting myself out there doing all these lead up videos, and they wanted to pay me to use their gear. They wanted to sponsor me. Like, that's because when I think of a sponsorship, that's what I think of.
Yeah, someone's paying me to like, do a thing.
Hey, we want you to be a representative of our brand and our product. We want to pay you, you know, whether that's supporting the hike that you're on, whether that's, you know, putting you up in hotels, paying for food. Plus, we want to give you this gear and we want to, you know, sponsor the videos you're making. We'll pay you per video. So I was presented with that.
Good, yeah,
I know, right? maybe I did it wrong. Maybe I did it wrong.
You got this guy's number?
So, you know, that was presented to me. And I had somebody that had some, kind of the same as what I'm doing right now, somebody that had that experience, someone that went through that, look at me and tell me,
okay,
don't do it. Tell them no. And I was like, what do you mean tell them no? And they said, if you tell them no, you'll be worth more to them in the long run. You'll be the fish that they can't catch. Like if you sell yourself now, you're only worth what they bought you for. But if you don't and they keep trying to chase you, then you're worth so much more to them. And like for some reason, man, when he told me that, it clicked. And I was like, oh my God, that makes sense. Like it's kind of, it's kind of a cocky thought to think about, like, well, I'm way better than that and I'm worth more. But I mean, I got to tell you, in 6 years, it worked. It paid off.
Yeah.
Like
it's almost like delayed gratification.
Yeah. It's kind of strange.
Like, and you got to play that scenario out. Dude, I think that's great that you had someone there. That
Like if he's listening and he knows who he is, and I won't give his name, but he knows who he is. If you're listening, like I've told him this multiple times as we've had conversations, I owe him so much for that because he literally helped. Like if I wouldn't have had that conversation, if he wouldn't have given me that advice and I wouldn't have went down that path, I mean, I probably wouldn't be here. Like we wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't have Outdoor Evolution. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have tried to pursue those things on my own because I'm like, oh, well I'm sponsored and someone's paying me and this is how I do it. So it's kind of a crazy thought, really, like that I owe a lot to him.
Well, yeah, I mean, it taught you to do it. How do I say it? Like it almost trained you to figure out a way to sustain your own self versus jumping from like, and again, there's not that anything wrong with that. Like that's
total science.
There's anything wrong with
that. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. It's just to each their own, but like, are you thinking long term? And I mean, sponsorships are a way to do it. What kind of a person are you? What fits your personality?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you owe these people certain things. That's the thing that I always go back to is I'm like, oh, okay, if I do this thing, I owe them something.
Right.
And I'm already owing all these other things. I already owe myself stuff.
Right.
So like how much bandwidth do you really have and how far do you want to go down that rabbit hole?
Totally. Yeah, man. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. Speaking of that, speaking of doing it on your own, speaking of affiliate codes, speaking of other ways that people can support something, I'm going to do a little plug. You ready? This is the first time we've ever had an ad on the Outdoor Evolution podcast. I usually say this at the end, folks, but you know, Emery and I and all of our co-hosts, we do this for free. Right. This is just, for me, this is therapy. Like I love sitting and talking with people and getting all this crap off my chest and bitching about things. Or wait, it's not bitching. What is it again?
Analyzing
it. Yeah.
Hyperanalyzing it. Yeah.
but you know, it does cost money to do the podcast. So for some reason you've been digging the podcast. You like what you hear. You want to get early episodes and also a bonus podcast because I do a weekly bonus podcast every week, folks. And I'm about to do that podcast. I don't know if you knew this. I'm about to do it from the CDT. Anyone that is listening to this, I'm sure knows by now. If you're listening to this, I'm currently through hiking the CDT. I better be.
And, I know, yeah.
Yeah, and every Monday morning, I do a Monday morning podcast. So we do have a Patreon community that does support Outdoor Evolution and me and all of my various media projects. So if that's something you're interested in, if you want to keep hearing episodes and help us keep this going and keep these conversations and release information like this to people, because I think this is kind of helpful, right? Go support us on Patreon. It helps me and Emery and all of our awesome other awesome co-hosts continue to do this and share this information and stuff.
I appreciate you lending your knowledge out to a bunch of people, because I think hopefully they can take it and run with it.
Yeah, hopefully it helps a lot of folks kind of, I don't know, understand how all this works, because I think there's a ton of people that really want to get into this and really want to make this their life, whether it's for the money or because it's their passion and they legit want to inspire people and share their passion like I did. So yeah, hopefully this helps all of you understand that. And also hopefully it sets the record straight for me personally and what I've done and kind of how people go about creating that alternative lifestyle. And I guess to reference an old video that I did that for some reason got really popular, I guess, and it's why, how we afford our lifestyle. A big ol' thanks to Emery for joining me yet again as co-host on this episode. If you haven't yet, make sure to check his podcast out at the Buy Land Podcast. If you want to help support the podcast and get bonus content like early access to episodes, hours of exclusive videos, and a weekly bonus podcast with yours truly, you can become a member of our Patreon community. We will leave a link in the show notes. If you've been enjoying the podcast, do us a favor and give it a rating and or a review wherever you're currently listening. Make sure to check out theoutdoorevolution.com to keep up to date with all of our new articles, reviews, products, and more. You can follow us over on Instagram at theoutdoorevolution. And folks, that's going to do it for another episode. Thanks so much for tuning in.